Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Maybe you've been water baptized. I'll just tell you that here at New Life Assembly, what we adhere to in the way of water baptism is that a person would be of some age, not a specific age where, oh, you have to be 4 or you have to be 18, but a place where a person begins to understand that they have a genuine personal faith in Christ for their salvation. And that there's an understanding about water baptism that they have. And so we don't baptize or christen babies. And I want you to know we don't criticize that at other churches, and maybe that's your church background. I want you to know that I was sprinkled with water when I was an infant, and it's the only time that I ever had a dress on. Hallelujah. And so you know, those little white things that flow down and, you know, that get mothers and grandmothers all, woohoo, and dads go, oh, brother. But I was sprinkled. And so I was baptized when I was an infant. And there was a time in my life as a pre-adolescent, just before I entered my teenage years, that there was a discovery that I had. And it was this kindness of the Lord that it caused me, helped me realize that God is real. He's not just, you go to church and you go to Sunday school and you see Noah up on the flannel board. And, you know, those of you who are my age or older, you would know what that is. Those of you who are younger than me, just skip it. And so, by the way, flannel board, that was called technology back then. I just want you to know that. You know, that was, it's, they stopped doing that right when Pong came out on Atari. You know, big jump into the future. But there was a time where the Lord found me. Okay, I can't say I found him, because the scripture is pretty clear that he comes to save and seek out those who are lost. And so he found me, and I sensed the presence of the Lord, and I was focused on this revelation that just came to my heart by somebody telling me the truth about the gospel. And I responded and said, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I'm so sorry. I want you in my heart. I want you in my life. I want a living relationship with you. I don't want an empty religious experience. I really want to know you. And I want you to live in me, and I want to live for you, and I need you to help me. And so as that became real in my heart and life, I discovered that water baptism, though it was a nice step on my parents' part, expression of their faith that we want our son water baptized, I needed to come to a place in my life where that baptism meant something to me, and that it was my decision to follow Christ. And so when I was a teenager, I was water baptized. It would be similar to this morning, where I walked behind a wall and came up into a baptismal tank, only that one was full, and professed my faith in Christ, and the pastor baptized me. And so it was very real to me. It was very important to me. It's something that I decided to do. So some of you in this room, maybe you were sprinkled when you were a baby. Maybe there was a point in your life where you kind of did like I did. You know, my faith is now an expression of my decision, my will, to receive the Lord. And so you have gotten water baptized. Maybe you're here this morning and you were never sprinkled as a baby. You just came to a realization the Lord found you, and, you know, you've been water baptized. I do know this, that in a crowd this size, I mean, it's kind of a given that there are some of you here who have experienced salvation through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And you've been a part of the church, and you've kind of meant to be water baptized and just never did. And now years have gone by, and so now you're like, well, you know, a lot of people know me, and I just was never water baptized. People probably just assume I am. I want to encourage you about something, that when the next water baptism opportunity comes, don't shy away because you've been a Christian for a while and you never did this. Don't be embarrassed by that. I don't want you to feel like you got to hide that or anything. That's a trap to just keep us where we are, isn't it? And that's what the enemy does to us in a lot of different ways. And I'm not suggesting the enemy's keeping you, but it's just we take the bait of some of those things. I have watched this happen as people have come to visit me over years about that very scenario, because it could be you this morning. And they say, I've been a Christian for a long time. I just was never water baptized. I meant to. And now it's like, ooh, you know, people are going to think, you're kidding. Oh, my goodness, I thought he was a Christian a long time. I thought they were water baptized. Listen, that ain't what people are going to do. You know what it's going to do beyond just your personal obedience to the Lord? Is that's going to encourage a whole lot of other people who are in the same situation. Say, you know what? They took that step of faith. I really need to do it. Want to do it. And so I want to encourage you, if you're in this room and you've never been water baptized, when that opportunity comes again and you know that you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to encourage you. Get to the sign-up sheet. Talk to the pastor. Maybe it's at your home church. Maybe it's here. And I want to encourage you to do that. I want you to know that this water baptism is not really something that, you know, man just kind of came up with, in the sense that, well, you know, we'll make some religious hoop that people have to jump through to kind of, you know, be members or make them feel like they got to, that's how they get to heaven. We want to look at the example of Jesus. And so I want to take a moment and I want us to look at Matthew chapter 3. We'll start with verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan. And by the way, this is in multiple gospels where Jesus was baptized. But look at, then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. Okay, John the Baptist. Because we know John was, you know, he was kind of came in the spirit of, you know, Elijah. He was out, you know, wearing, you know, wild animal hides. You know how you could recognize John the Baptist when you met him? He always had like a little grasshopper leg caught between his teeth right here, because he ate locust and honey. I mean, that's what he lived on out there. So you remember that, because that could be like in a Bible quiz question. Yeah, right. You in Bible quiz?
Yeah.
I thought I recognized you. So John, he was out there, and of course, he was baptizing people, and the baptism that he brought was a baptism of repentance, okay, where people say, I need forgiveness of sin, I need my sins washed away, and the only way that can happen is my faith in God. So it wasn't like, well, if you dip in the water cleanses your sins away. That is not it. I want you to know that the gospel is very clear. God's word is very clear in a whole lot of places. It takes blood for the forgiveness of sin. And the blood of animals in the Old Testament was insufficient to pay for people's sins. So God, because he loved people and wanted to be reconciled and restored in relationship with people, God gave his only begotten son, Jesus. Okay, that's how this got in motion. It was God's love for us, God's love for people. And he said, I'm sending my son as a lamb that will be slain. And he will go and live among men. He will be born of a virgin. And the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and she conceived. So Jesus was fully man, born to a mom, But the seed that she carried was of God, and so Jesus was fully God and fully man. The wonderful integrity of Jesus is that as he walked on earth, he did not sin. So when it came time for him to give his life, the blood that he had, that he spilt, was not tainted by sin. It was pure, holy, acceptable blood sacrifice that could pay for the sins of humanity for all time and eternity. And the way we apply that forgiveness of his blood to our life, Paul writes, we are saved by grace through faith. In other words, this gift of God, this grace of God, giving his son and Jesus dying and his blood is there to pay for our sins. The way we apply that blood to our life is by believing in him. Somebody asks you, how do you get to heaven? I'm going to tell you something. It's not by good works. You and I, we can try to do more good works than the sin we've committed. And God doesn't bring out a scale and go, whoa, your good works outweigh the bad. Hey, you can come on in. That ain't how it works. Because the fact of the matter is, no matter how many good works we do, we were still guilty somewhere of breaking the law. And it has to be satisfied. And the only way that it's satisfied is by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we can apply that blood to our life by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that his blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness, all sin, and through that we can be restored to God. That is the good news of the gospel. Listen, do we understand how great, maybe we hear too often, maybe I say it too often, that we start to just, it's normal and we take it for granted. Do you understand that there is nowhere else you can go for salvation and God has blessed us enough that we were able to hear the one true way to get there? Amen. I mean, think about that. Whew. I mean, the search is over. How about it? I don't know. That's good news. How you doing, buddy? Good? Yeah. Wish I was in children's church. We brought the kids in today because we want them to be in here and see what goes on in here and see water baptism. And so every once in a while, the children come in to the Sunday morning service. And those of you who grew up falling asleep under pews way back in the early 1900s said amen, right? So Jesus, in Matthew chapter 3 and other places, Jesus went to be baptized. It said Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter Jesus by saying this, I need to be baptized by you, Jesus. I shouldn't be baptizing you. I recognize you as the Son of God. I baptize with water. But in another place, and it says that Jesus comes and baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And Jesus says this to John. Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And so John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove and lightning on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. It is interesting that Jesus says, we must do this. I've got to be baptized because I've got to fulfill what's right. Now, if that is Jesus' example, the Son of God is going into the water of baptism, how much more those who believe in him that we should be baptized? Understand that stepping into the waters and being baptized is not what saves us. It's just like, you know, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. No more than standing or sitting or laying on your garage floor that by the next morning you become a car. It just doesn't work like that. It has, the outward expressions can look the same, but it has to do, everything to do with what's inside and what makes us and brings us to that point of decision. So Jesus said, I'm going to be baptized because it's what's right. And if that was right for Jesus, who was holy and perfect, how much more that we should follow in the waters of baptism? You know, in Acts chapter 2, after the Holy Spirit was poured out, the crowd is kind of going crazy, not knowing what to do. What does this mean? And Peter steps up and he begins to preach this great sermon. And part of it, he said this. Peter replied to the crowd, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That whole sermon is just great because he's quoting Isaiah. He's answering the crowd. And the response of the crowd is, I'll believe. 3,000 came to the Lord that day. 3,000. Do you understand that that is about 40% of Sparta? 3,000, that's got to be larger than Bangor. Certainly Rockland. I mean, think about that. Put it in the context that our whole town could be saved. Or put it in the context that 40% of Sparta at one sermon repented and believed. I mean, those are the kind of things that happen. And they still happen because God's the same. So let's believe him for it. So, but the interesting thing that Peter says is, repent and be baptized. Repentance is the internal work. And the baptism part is the external work. In other words, because of this internal decision, outward expressions are carried out because of this faith in us. See, water baptism means nothing without repentance. Repentance, let me put repentance in kind of a layman's scenario. Repentance isn't just, I'm really sorry for my sins. Because how many of you have heard, sorry from somebody, but they keep doing the same thing? At some point when they come and say sorry, you're going, yeah, you're sorry, right, but it never changes anything. Sorry doesn't cut it anymore. You ever hear something like that? I've heard it. You know, I was a naughty boy once. Hey, I'm sorry is only part of it. It's that, God, I'm sorry. I need you to come in and help me because I want to turn away from who I have been and what I have been doing, and I need you to live me a new, I need you to live in me so I can live a new life. I can be transformed. I want to be a new creation. It's kind of like, I think I'd like to be born again. Not start over as a baby, but born again in the sense I still have the same name, I still look the same, but I live different. A fresh new start. And that's what Jesus talked about, being born again. So this repentance is, I used to walk this way and do these things and have this corruption and live for myself. And I came to a point where Jesus, I recognized him as Lord. I want him to forgive me and I need to repent, say, I'm sorry. But part of the repentance is I make a 180, 180 degree turn, and I turn my back on what I used to do and how I used to live and who I was. And I begin to walk now in the direction of God and he helps me. Repentance, the asking of forgiveness, is a confession. But that's an internal work. There needs to be the physical response that our life changes because of our inward faith. So when people say, hey, don't talk to me about, you know, religion and spirituality, that's a personal thing. You're right. It's a personal decision. But when you are a Christian, it always becomes public awareness. Because he lives in us. And so that's part of what this water baptism is about. It's people saying, I have repented of my sin, but I now identify myself as a follower of Christ, a Christian, or little Christs, as the book of Acts talked about the early church. They were known as little Christs, where the word Christian comes from. They lived according to Jesus' teaching, and began to minister like Jesus and to seek him and look for him. And so that's what water baptism is. It says, I repent of my old life. I want it to die. Thus the symbolism of going under the water like a grave. We die. But in Jesus Christ, we know that life, right? Jesus Christ, his resurrection, he overcame sin, death, grave, hell, and so he rose again. So if we die to ourselves and put faith in him, we rise up, this physical expression of an inward decision, we rise up like a new person, a like Christ, a Christian. And so water baptism is a physical expression of an inward decision, this response that you and I make because Jesus, we understand, is the Lord God Almighty, the Savior. And in him alone, we are saved by his blood that paid for it. Understand, Jesus was very clear. He said, no one goes to the Father in heaven except through me. Faith in Christ is the way, the truth, and the life eternal. That's what water baptism is about. That's what the expression of faith is about. I could read other places like Acts chapter 8 where Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and I encourage you, go to Acts chapter 8 and read it, okay? Go there and read it. It tells you a wonderful story about someone who didn't understand God's word. And Philip climbed up, I can't see, I'm starting to tell you. You go read it yourself, Acts chapter 8. What I want us to do now is I want you to meet our water baptism candidates. And if you are being water baptized today and you've communicated with our office and that you're being water baptized today, I would like you to get out of your seat and I would love for you to just come and stand across the front of the church here and I'd like you to face the congregation. Don't be shy. Come on up here. Yeah. Kind of spread out. That's it. It's okay. She can stand here. It's all right. Hey, Don. Bless you. Yeah, come on up here. Stand up here. Yeah. What I want you to do, yeah, isn't this great? Bless the Lord. I'm going to have them introduce themselves, and we've met together. Kazmira here wasn't at the meeting; she couldn't make the meeting, but we know that her faith in the Lord is genuine and real. And so, I didn't get a chance to meet with you, but we're glad that you're here and be baptized. I want you to meet them, and some of them have been coming to church for quite a while. Some kind of been born and grown up in the church, and some have come in over the last few years, and so I just want you to meet them. So go ahead and give us your name. If you want to add anything else to that, you know, about the church or about your walk with the Lord, you can do that. Otherwise, you can just introduce yourself. Go ahead, Don.
Hi.
You go ahead.
Don Jesse. And this is my first chance that I've had to be baptized since I give my life to the Lord and started a new life and just want to thank him and show my appreciation.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. This is a sweet wife, Nancy, over here. You wave, yeah, it's Nancy. But they're a great couple. So glad to hear. Go ahead.
I'm Kazmira Whitaker, and I am a sophomore and 15. And I've never been baptized before. And
That's great. You did good. Go ahead.
My name's Angela Gray. I'm a senior and I'm 17. And this was the first real opportunity for me to get baptized. And I just felt that the Lord was calling me to do this. So
bless you, Angela. That's good.
My name is Paul, and I'm 13, and I'm in 7th grade.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Kiana Mack. I'm a senior, and I'm 17.
My name is Elsa, and I'm 11 in sixth grade.
My name is Benjamin, and I'm 9 years old.
Isaac McPherson, I'm 13, and just really happy to have this opportunity to be baptized and everything. So.
I'm Nathan Greminger. I'm 14, and I'm in eighth grade.
I'm Melinda Borland, and I'm thankful to be here. And I'm thankful for a good pastor and a wonderful family of church. And we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Lindsay and Jeff Schultz. That's and great. I just want to proclaim my faith and love and my dedication to Jesus Christ, my Savior.
Amen. Bless you.
Hi, I'm Brian Borland, and 10 months ago I became born again, and I'm very pleased to be baptized today.
That's great, Brian. God bless you. We want to give the Lord all the credit because it belongs to Him, and we're just glad that you're here, that you're a part of this church, and committed to the Lord, and handful of you are very involved in the Bridge, the youth ministry here at the church, and of course children's ministry, and we're just glad that you're here. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn around and face the platform, and I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and you can respond to these questions as a declaration publicly of your faith and your commitment. And when we do this, this is a serious thing because we do it in the presence of God and in the presence of these witnesses, God's family. And so I would like to ask you today, do you understand that your salvation is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, alone? Do you understand that it is by His blood that your sins are forgiven? And do you understand what water baptism means and that you are doing this today out of an obedience to the Lord? And that you are identifying yourself publicly because of an inward faith. You're identifying yourself as a Christian belonging to Jesus Christ. Yes. Upon your profession of faith, we're going to baptize you this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so, church, would you please stand? Let's pray together that God would continue to rest His Spirit and His hand of blessing upon these candidates. Father in heaven, we thank you for loving us so much, for sending your only Son, Jesus, to lay down His life, to go to the grave and pick up His life again as resurrection, as hope, as a sign of forgiveness and life eternal found in Him. For these candidates, Lord, that's what they're doing this morning. They're responding in obedience and a love for you. Thank you, Jesus, for leading the way by example. And Lord, as they are water baptized today, I ask that you would take such great pleasure in their steps of faith and obedience to you. That you would pour into their life your Holy Spirit. As they are water baptized, Jesus baptized them with the Holy Spirit and with fire. May it manifest in their life. May you continue to grow in them and develop them in their faith, in their walk with you. I ask that you would give them health in their bodies, in their soul, in their spirit. You would keep your hand of protection upon them. You would lead them. You would guide them. You would bring conviction to them. You would bring everything that they need. Pave a way. Go before them in their life. Walk with them. Guard them from behind. And may their mind and their heart continually meditate upon you day and night. May they hear and learn your voice. And may their eyes always be fixed upon you, Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. In Jesus' name, the church family says, amen.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the Ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.